welcome to Neo Bohemia. I'm your host, Charlie Layton. This episode is dedicated to the theme of crossing. Crossing as in a threshold or a border, an international border, for instance. And with me today is my entire Speech 2 class at the Atlantic Theater Company. So I teach a supplementary English as a second or other language course to these fine students who all came from out of the country and speak English as their second or other language. And it's lovely to have. Thanks everybody for coming.
Thank you, Charlie.
So please introduce yourself and tell us where you're from.
Hello, I'm Jonathan Portillo and I'm from Mexico City.
Hello, I'm Alice Corti and I'm from Italy.
Hi, I'm Tanya Zubareva, I'm from Russia.
Hello, I'm Paola Sea and I'm from El Salvador.
Hi, I'm Carmen Bubieno and I'm from Portugal.
Hello, I'm Tim Lashkolnik and I'm from Switzerland.
Hi, I'm Noemi Sharog and I'm from Hungary.
Great, so you've all finished a year of training, actor training at the Atlantic Theater Company. Some of you, it's your second year. And you focused a lot on your speech because in America, especially in New York City, there's a lot of theater. Most of that theater is played, or most of that theater is acted in English. English is not the official language of the United States. It's the predominant language. About 80% of Americans speak English. And so that presents a challenge to you all, having to learn another language in order to act in this country. So did anyone have any experiences you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, there was a lot of unawareness. When I arrived here, I personally didn't know there was a standard American way to speak. So it was really interesting to learn that in class and to develop these new tools. And it's been a journey, a lot of frustration, a lot of work, a lot of screaming and shouting to yourself. But it's been fun and there's always more to do. So yeah. It's a really fun process.
Tim?
I also think, especially over time, just doing the speech is one thing, but then incorporating into your acting is a whole other level, and it can get, just previously said, very frustrating about, you worked on it so much, and there are still, all these people telling you, oh, I heard your accent, where are you from? And then it can be really frustrating, you just acted a scene in front of somebody that doesn't know you, and then the person comes up to you and asks you where you're from, and you're I still didn't really get it. And it's, a lot of frustration, and you just need to keep on going.
Right. So there's a high demand for American characters in theater, film, television, in this country, obviously. And part of the challenge for all of you is to speak English in a believable American accent / dialect, what have you. And they're working through it. It's always a work in progress. The thing that impressed me is that all of you had a high degree of English fluency already before I met you. So I wasn't just working on simple grammar, spelling. You all knew English well enough to get into this school to get a... is everyone here on a student visa or...?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So a student visa is to be at an acting school. So that's impressive as it was. Does anyone wish to talk about the process of learning English as your second language? Alice.
In my country, we start to study English at the primary school. But of course, we have not the chance to have mother tongue teacher. Mm-hmm. And that's really difficult because it's hard to catch the pronunciation of the word or other grammar things. Mm-hmm. So for me, my process was that at some point, I decided to move in London for months to just be able to recognize different sounds and really have the chance to speak English. That, in my opinion, is one of the best way to learn it. Instead of really, it is useful to learn the grammar on a book, but it's also useful to have the chance to speak English.
Because, so full immersion.
Yes, because a language that you learn in a book is a dead language.
Mm-hmm.
if you want to make it to have a life, you have to have the chance to speak it. So yes, I think that the best thing to do is just to travel in the place where you're able to speak the language.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So with that, I get social anxiety just trying to attempt to talk to other people in other languages. Was there an element of this nervousness approaching someone in a different language, or did you adopt a new character? How was it trying to talk to other people in English? Paola.
It's interesting because in my country, when I was in school, I had like English as a subject, but it was like 2 times a week. So it was pretty much basic. It was very basic. And when I finished high school, I really didn't speak in English at all.
Mm.
So I actually learned by reading books in English and like listening to movies without the subtitles and stuff like that. But I really never had interaction with anyone in conversations in English or anything. So when I came here, I had a lot of social anxiety because I was like, oh my God, I don't know. Yeah, it was a challenge, mm-hmm. but I had to just let it go and yeah.
For some people, when they learn a new language, they adopt a new personality, and that yeah. personality can be more confident or like an alter ego or a superhero, yeah. supervillain, who knows. So the theme of this episode is crossing, and I was interested in your experience of crossing your international borders to come to New York City to learn how to act, to immerse yourself in the theater and film and TV industry of America. So what has that been like for you? Any observations? Noemi?
Well, it's really interesting because the moment I landed here in America, first time ever overseas, I went to the Hungarian bookstore where I found lovely people who were interested in theater as well. So, and they had a theater company and I joined them. And since then, I'm really working together with them. I admire them. And it's really interesting because at the beginning, we just brought Hungarian theater here to America and we performed to Hungarian people and we tried to make a home for ourselves as well. But now it's really interesting, it's really different from where we started because now I think it's much more the mix of the two. So bringing the Hungarian courage into the American discipline and merge the two and show a theater for all of the people here in America. So make a universal theater, universally understandable theater, but at the same time with the background of the Hungarian heritage and the knowledge of the American skills and disciplines.
That's great. So you're able to find a home away from home.
Yes.
Has anybody else been able to find people from home in New York? It's a diverse city.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I've been able to. From Mexico.
Yeah. I don't speak English with them, but it's funny because they really make fun of me when they listen to me speaking English.
Because your English has an American...
I don't know. It's just like...
Does your Spanish have an American accent now?
That's a good question. I feel like as... Even speaking Spanish, I have a funny like way to make inflections.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, it's been developing really strangely since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. But talking the point of meeting people from home, it's been a joy because I don't know. There's a lot of Mexicans in New York. Like it's like a lot of community,
mm-hmm.
and unfortunately, I haven't been able to find. For example, a company that does just like Latin workers or something like that. I should like probably look for that more. But yeah, I guess that helped me to not be so self-conscious about the way I look and the way I speak in the street. That gives you a lot of confidence.
That's great.
Yeah.
Does anyone feel particularly homesick at this point after a whole school year in New York?
Yes. Yeah, of course. I mean, I miss my family. I haven't found a lot of Salvadorians in New York. I mean, I'm sure they are, but like my roommate is from El Salvador, so that was nice. Mm-hmm. And I have two other roommates who are Latin, you know, from Peru. So that was nice to go home and speak in Spanish. And, you know, it's very, yeah, that was very nice. But of course, I miss my family, my friends, and mm-hmm. and my routine in El Salvador and dancing because I'm a dancer. And, you know, yeah, I want to go back.
Noemi.
What's interesting is I don't feel particularly homesick, but I really want to introduce this word to my family, to my friends who are in Hungary and who've never seen things like that or never experienced theater like that,
mm-hmm.
and I just really wish they could be here and they could all experience the wonder which is here in New York or what I've been through.
So what about New York theater would you like to bring home and show to people?
Oh.
If you had to pick something.
I think it's the how much theater there is. You can literally, like, every evening of the week you can go to a performance if you'd like to, how many small or a little bit bigger theater spaces there are for companies to rent and put shows in, and how easy that is. Like, in Switzerland, that's just not happening. To put on a show, you have to get through a lot of paperwork and have a lot of money and then rent a space. And also acting is not really a big thing, even.
So a bigger scene?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. More venues?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there anything else from New York that you'd like to take home?
The diversity.
Diversity?
Yes. You can see a lot of different theater from everywhere around the world, and they are all good. I mean, sometimes they are not in your taste, but they are interesting, and you can experience a lot of different theater.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'd like to hear everyone give a shout out to whoever they like back home in your native language. We'll start with you, Jonathan.
Hola. No, hola, ¿cómo están en México? Un saludo enorme a mi familia. Ay, me estoy sintiendo emocionalmente conectado. No, solo quiero mandar un abrazo a mi familia, a toda la gente que me apoya en este camino de poder aprender el arte de actuar y el arte de bailar y todo lo que conlleva este proceso. Gracias a mi familia. Un saludo a mi hermano Kevin, a y pues nada, quiero, no sé qué más decir, Charlie.
Gracias. Alice.
Mando un saluto a tutta la mia famiglia che mi ha sopportato e supportato quest'anno, nonostante siamo stati lontani, a tutti i miei amici che mi hanno scritto e si fanno vivi, si fanno sentire, e che mi hanno fatto sentire la lontananza meno perché sono stati veramente molto vicini a me. E quindi mando un bacio a tutti e un saluto a tutti e non vedo l'ora di vedervi e abbracciarvi. Vi voglio bene.
Thank you. Tanya.
Я бы хотела передать привет своему родному городу Новосибирск. И я бы хотела поблагодарить маму, брата, моих друзей за невероятную поддержку. И хочу сказать, ребята, не бойтесь мечтать. Мечты реально сбываются. Всем привет и скоро увидимся.
Paola.
Un saludo para El Salvador. Hoy más que nunca estoy súper orgullosa de ser de El Salvador, de ser salvadoreña. Muy pronto regresaré y espero llevarles un poquito de lo que he aprendido aquí en Nueva York. Un saludo para mi familia, para mis amigos, para toda la gente que me apoya allá. Los quiero un montón y les mando un gran abrazo. Y los extraño mucho.
Bueno.
Hola a todos. Quero mandar um grande beijinho à minha família e aos meus amigos, que tenho muitas saudades, e quero agradecer por todo o apoio que me têm dado ao longo destes anos e por continuarem sempre ao meu lado nos tempos mais difíceis e nos tempos mais felizes.
Tim?
Heute zusammen, Shoutout, würde ich jetzt da mal sagen, zu Diana de la Croix, die mich hierher gebracht hat, überhaupt auf New York. Und natürlich auch zu meiner Familie, Jenny und Robert, die es für mich ermöglichen, dass ich überhaupt kann da sein kann. Zum Liam, der jetzt gleich anderthalbjährig ist und den ich noch fast nie gesehen habe, weil ich da in New York bin. Und ja.
Noemi.
Drága családom és barátaim, üdvözöllek benneteket innen New Yorkból, itt az egész csapattal együtt. Most zártunk egy fél évet, fantasztikusak itt az emberek, fantasztikusan éreztük magunkat, egy egész család az, aki mi itt vagyunk most egymásnak, és csak azt kívánom, hogy ti is érezzétek át ezt a hangulatot, ezt a szeretetet, ami itt van, és remélem, hogy otthon is ezt a békét és összefogást ki tudjuk találni, és együtt tudunk tovább menni, még akkor is, hogyha távol vagyunk egymástól. Szóval hajrá, hurrá, gyerekek, menjünk előre, és köszönöm szépen Charlie-nak, hogy meghívott és összefogta ezt a kis csapatot.
Hi, it's Charlie saying hello to mom and dad in Naples, Florida, and my brothers Anthony and Tommy, and my sister Roz, who's in Denmark with her spouse John, and all my nieces and nephews, Anastasia, little Thomas, Vivi, and Era. I love you all very much. I'm going to see you hopefully around the summer, and I'm having a great time here with my students here in New York, and we're learning so much about each other.
Hi, everybody. Hey, if you're enjoying this episode and would like to support the podcast, then please log on to GoFundMe.com and donate to the Neo Bohemia Podcast campaign. Or you can show your support by leaving a positive rating and review on iTunes. Both website links are provided in the description of this episode. Thanks for listening, and now back to our program.
Great. Okay, so we were talking about crossings. It's so funny because everyone here sounds so beautiful in their native languages, and there's this terrible stereotype about standard American that it's... Did you have that experience working on scenes from plays and TV shows and movies, trying to take your beautiful language and then fit it into this type of sound? Did anyone have that experience, Tim?
I think a lot of TV, when I now hear them, I hear them like this American accent that has a lot of like all this...
The vocal fry,
the nasality and all of that. Mm-hmm. And I also, in terms of like what I really found was German is sometimes used in TV, mostly as a stereotype for something bad or aggressive. Mm-hmm. But I also, when I see like subtitles, like speaks German and I hear the actor say something, but I don't understand them at all. And it's just, I'm like, it is not German. And that's something that I found is really lacking sometimes, like the acknowledgement of other languages and to really to take the time for the actor or even like hire a speech coach to make them sound like they're, if they are coming from another country or speaking another language. Because here in America, it is very many people only speak one language, which is English.
Globalism is bringing our attention in film and TV especially to the importance of authenticity when you speak other languages. So back to learning English. English has its own challenges. There are some sounds in English that hardly exist in any other. I'm sure you're very familiar with them. What are your least favorite sound changes when you learned English?
TH.
TH, yes. The TH in this, that, these, those, and the voiceless TH in thin, thick, thigh. Those are challenging. Any others?
For me, challenging is eh.
The eh, as in did or will. Yeah, the short.
Still, but
Yeah, I guess for me, it's been interesting to differentiate the
S's and Z's,
that's
yes.
That's crazy.
Because half of the S's in the spelling of English are actually meant to be Z, yeah. voiced Z in pronunciation. And so we're grappling with that. And it's an ongoing challenge because you can always refine and make it more and more believable and authentic. You can start to add in allophonic variations like nasality and the hard R coloring.
The V's and W's to
right.
differentiate.
Oh, yeah.
Why are V's and W's so difficult for German speakers and Hungarian speakers?
Because our W's that we have in German, we actually speak as V's. And
so the symbol meant something else that
yeah,
you used to.
And the symbol for V, we actually pronounce with an F.
Hmm.
And so it's like you have to go one step further for everything, and you have to adjust in your brain of like, okay, when I see a W, it is not this, but another thing. And like going from what you've learned for 20 years to another thing in 2 years, and everyone's like, just like, oh, it's this and this, and but I like you understand it intellectually, but then as soon as you act, it goes out of the window.
So as actors, you're grappling with the challenge of speaking in this different way, but also emoting, trying to achieve an objective.
Yes.
Like,
how is your concentration?
Like sometimes I found myself when I first arrived thinking in Spanish and translating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that was a lot of energy. And now I feel more able to just think in English and be able to like improvise a little bit more. Yeah, because you put in your body more.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fun.
Noem.
And also I think one thing is it's the matter of time, but at the same time, it's a matter of practice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because what just popped into my head that in Suzuki class, for example, we have to develop a skill to focus on many, many things when your body is working out in a way that it's not used to it. And then you have to say the lines in a totally different way. And then you have to have an imagery how you want to deliver those lines, but at the same time you are in unbelievable positions and really strange standings. So it really helps to develop this skill.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of when you come from your homelands, your native countries, coming into New York City, obviously you experience cultural differences. And there's some things about the theater here that you like, that you want to bring home. Are there things from home that you want to bring to the theater here? Are there things that interest you or that you would like to see on stage or in the culture that you miss, that in your mind could make theater better? Tim?
I feel in, especially the German part of Europe, we have a lot of theater that is not naturalism. We have a lot of absurdism, of surrealism that speaks much more to the devised theater or to a theater that isn't logical and doesn't necessarily have a narrative or like an overarching story, for lack of a better word. And that is something that I rarely see here in America. America is a lot about realism, a lot about naturalism, even if it is on stage, that actually could never be like real, but we try to make it as real as possible instead of taking what much more happens in Germany, Switzerland, and Austria. It's like an approach to not make it look real, but make an impression of something. Like instead of having a fireplace, you would put like paper that is red and orange and yellow together, and people would be like, oh, that is a fire in the theater. While here we try to have a fireplace that looks nearly like a real fire.
Right, so we're tied to realism in a way that, from your culture, you don't see the necessity for it. There's a chance to express something more abstract or more absurd.
Because we already know theater, it isn't real, like it is make-believe. We all know the actors on stage. It is not real.
Right.
They are just making us believe it is real.
Mm-hmm. Great. No,
I'd like to just add to it the symbolism, what I really think is important and what Tim was talking about. And the other thing is the unsafe or not safe theater. So not always just safe, nice, loving story on stage, but really disturbing and really
provocative
themes on stage.
Sometimes it can be more grounded in like the experience of the human being, and that, like, I don't know, sometimes it just like comes with the stereotypes and comes with these ideas of what a person does, but not necessarily like really going deep into the imagination of what a human being can be doing or thinking. Like, yeah,
more profundity.
Yes.
Interesting. Anything else you would like to bring to the theater? Just want to act.
The other thing is, it's very interesting. I've heard that there is no such thing that multi-language theater, and it's a very interesting idea, but because New York is so diverse, it's actually interesting.
The opera has subtitles and super titles. There's that. But yes, to have multi-language theater, there are some plays, I think of the play, it's called Pentecost, has a lot of multilingualism.
Also, Tell Hector I Miss Him has a lot of like English and also Spanish speaking at the same time. But it is very rare in theater. I also think it might have to do, like, I feel like the theater community is now much more awakening to all the diversity that it has in its artists, and putting that much more in the forefront of the plays and the pieces on stage.
Yeah, more consciousness.
You just can get more raw or more risky sometimes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are there any dream roles that you would love to do on the stage or on film and TV? Have you already achieved them?
Well, I would love to do a Stephen Adler Gurgis play, but I've not the way he, I mean, he writes for Afro-American people, so... Mm-hmm. That will be like a dream for me to do.
There's some Neo-Ricans that if you... Yeah.
That will be me in this very moment, yeah.
Alice, do you have a dream role?
I don't have one dream role. My goal is to have the chance to experience different type of roles in life. So I really found it difficult to just focus on one. But I really find the enthusiasm in thinking about experiencing very different kind of character on stage. Because this is challenging and this gives you like the will to discover new things and new color of your acting every day. And it never became bored in this way. It's always like active and
That's
energetic
great.
For me.
Tanya?
I agree with Alicia, but also maybe I have one dream, is to play Juliet.
You want to do Juliet?
Yes. I want to do this. I want to try.
That would be great.
Yeah.
I would totally see that.
For me, I don't have a dream role right now that I can think of, but I also want to be versatile, and I want to try different roles. I want to do theater, but I also want to do film. So
all the roles then.
Yeah.
Versus
all the roles for me. No. But not just the stereotype of the Latin woman, you know, I want to try classic and contemporary, and yeah.
That's
I mean
great.
That would be amazing.
Carmen.
I agree with what Alicia and Paula said. I don't have a dream role yet. Maybe I will have in the future. I don't know. But I would love to try different things, film, theater, classic, contemporary, and not only be limited by my language or what I look like. Yeah.
Tim?
I have, like, the same. I want to be as versatile as possible and be open for new playwrights to arise and write the role for me that I dream to play. But I have a few roles that I would love to play, one of them being Iago from Othello.
Oh, great.
Maybe Padraic from The Tenant of Inishmore, which is one of my favorite plays of all times. And one play that actually me and Noemi just did a scene from would be Ned Darrell from Strange Interlude by Eugene O'Neill, which is just a weird play but super fun to do. So that would be like my favorite roles, but I'm very open to what comes in the future and what people cast me in, and then see how far I can take myself to get cast in other roles.
Mm. Noemi?
Yeah, just like Tim said, that was a strange interlude. Was a very delightful play. And also I'd like to add Miranda from The Tempest. I really fell in love with that character. So I'd like to explore her and her journey. As well as I got to perform Matej Wiśniak, The Body of a Woman as a Battlefield in the Bosnian War. And my character was Dora, the main character, the traumatized person from Bosnia. And that journey is just really fascinating, and I'd like to explore her more and more and more, and hopefully you all get to see it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and also the characterization, I mean, the types, you know, what cast are you gonna get? For example, if you go to an audition...
Foreign stereotypes.
Yeah, you are just an Eastern European, because of your accent, you can just play this role or that role or stuff like that. But also I believe that what is really motivates me to learn the proper English, because mm-hmm. then I can change and switch for roles. So
yeah.
I prefer to think about it as a tool to have another language as well in my pocket.
And also challenge our notion of what is mainstream.
Yeah. Because I mean, especially today, our world is so global that having like a person just speak American might be believable here, but as soon as we go to Europe, a person who's like only doesn't speak English doesn't really exist in Europe, even though the native language is another language in that country. Pretty much everybody learns English. And so I feel like over time there's going to be more and more diversity in terms of language, mm-hmm. and there, I don't know, maybe there's going to be some new uniformity for theater.
More multilingualism, hopefully.
Yeah. And also what I think, what is happening actually, or has happened in the German part of Europe, is that on stage, you don't, like you only hear exactly one accent. It doesn't matter where the character is from. You only hear the standard German. And only if you have like a comedy where you want to make like one person look really like farmer-like or poorish or whatever, then you would give him like some weird accent to make him like funny. But other than that, pretty much every actor speaks this one accent.
So there is standardization.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Which I think is very different to here, where we, here in New York, where it's much more trying to fit the accent to the character, where the character is from.
Right. Cities, country, state.
Because it adds to the character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's so much refinement in the dialogue where you can write in qualities of the dialect in the writing. You just did Eugene O'Neill. He's a great example of writing in mm-hmm. very specific ways of speaking.
Yeah.
And Stephen Adley Gurgis as well.
Yeah.
His slang and vernacular. And
yeah, it will be really interesting to make a Spanish adaptation of Gurgis. Like rhythm, it's so familiar with Spanish that I feel it would be fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk about some realities. All of you are here on student visas, right?
Yes.
What happens after today, the last day of school? Do you have to go back home?
We have two possibilities. The one is to extend our visa. But the request is gonna take a while, and sometimes to have the answer, you wait for 8 months, and if the answer is negative, it means that next year, at half of our program, we have to leave.
Wow.
Or, like, another solution is just to go home the summer and do an application for a new visa, and so come here to have another one-year visa.
Mm-hmm.
This is the process, and it's a lot of paperwork, it's a lot of work, and I honestly think, in my opinion, that it's so hard to get a visa and to go over all the application, and that it gives me, when I applied for my visa, the idea of how much I wanted to be in New York.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work, and there are a lot of questions, and it's hard. And it's also hard to remember what you answer to this question, because even though if you're honest, you're like, what did I answer? Was I honest? It's so stressful that it's like, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, I think that this process that is huge gives also the idea of how much we want to be here and study here and really go home and apply for a new visa and be here again, or just wait and 8 months, that it means that you cannot leave the country in these 8 months and stay here and study and see what happened.
Yeah, it's a real trial. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't envy it. As a native-born American citizen, I sometimes don't appreciate how hard it is for my immigrant students and clients, how much you've been through to be here just to be on a student visa, and let alone get the artist visa, which is also really difficult. Noemi?
Well, as a second year students, we got to talk to an immigration lawyer. The school assigned for us one very nice gentleman. And we just heard that nowadays, this whole process to apply for an artist visa or maybe an OPT, like a practice after your studies, it's so difficult and so much money that it's just really hard for all of us to get the visa, because you have to show that kind of ability and skills that almost only the 1% of the humanity has. So it's like unbelievable skills and credits. And you, as a Finnish student who just came out of school, are not really able to do this. Not because you are not skilled enough, but because you don't have the opportunity. You don't get chances, and it takes time. Mm-hmm. But that's what you have the less.
Right. If it took this long just to get the opportunity to learn, rather than to just get the chance to work, that really makes you question how bad do you want it. And for all of you, I'm impressed by the work you've shown me this year. I will give you glowing letters of recommendation. I will do whatever, if you want me to help you in any way. I can give you emotional support. And maybe, oh goodness, I just want to express to you that I appreciate how hard you've come just to be at this school, let alone how hard it's going to be to work in this city if you continue on, if you want to work in New York. How many of you, is that the dream to stay in America?
Yes.
Not sure.
Not yet?
Not sure.
You going international?
I don't know. At the moment, I'm thinking one semester at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I finished this semester, so I haven't really thought much yet. But I'm going to see what I'm going to do after the next semester, because, like, applying for this visa, like you said, it's very difficult. They're asking for reviews where the review is specifically mentioning you as a primary part, and that is just not happening in, like, most reviews. And also the people who review your application are not artists. They're simply office workers who...
Right. Who don't appreciate the artist life.
They don't. Yeah. But yes, I don't know where I'm going to go afterwards simply because of that difficulty, but I'll see.
Okay, well, I wish all of you the best of luck over this summer. I hope you have some rest and think about all that you've learned. And then eventually, let's Skype and work on our THs and our vowels and our S's and Z's. It's been a great school year, and I wish you all the best. Jonathan, Alice, Tanya, Paola, Carmu, Tim, Noemi, thank you for coming on Neo Bohemia.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Layton, and this is Neo Bohemia, and this was the Speech 2 class.
Woo!